Okay. James chapter 3. Reading, again, reading at verse 13. Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder in every vile practice. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Father, as we come before you, I pray that you would focus us on you. I know I'm a little distracted this morning, but I pray that our focus, our concentration will be on you and what you want to say. Help us, Lord, to hear your voice. In Jesus' name, amen. Here James is talking about wisdom, the wisdom from above. It is wisdom. Wisdom and knowledge are not the same thing. Wisdom comes from knowledge, but there are a lot of smart people, very knowledgeable people, who are not very wise people. Knowledge is the possession of information, of facts, of ideas, etc. But wisdom is our ability to make sensible decisions and judgment based on this knowledge. One definition that I saw years ago for wisdom is skill for living. It is skill in living. It is what they call, where I was growing up, good old-fashioned common sense or horse sense. It is interesting because you can find many quotes about wisdom. I saw several. One I like, but it's kind of interesting. This is a quote from Eleanor Roosevelt about wisdom, and she says, "No one can make you feel inferior without your consent." And it's an interesting one, but like many quotes of wisdom, it's like you take it and you go, I see some truth in that, but I wonder, because it talks about no one making you feel an inferior. Well, last week we were talking about the power of the tongue, and the fact of the matter is people can do a pretty good job of making us feel various ways. So I turned to the Urban Dictionary, and I don't know if you ever looked at the Urban Dictionary. Urban Dictionary is kind of like the Urban Wikipedia, in terms of people put stuff in there, and some of it is interesting. Some has to be kind of taken through the filter, because some you can't repeat. But it's interesting, but there are several things that call my attention as I went through there. There are quotes and quotes about wisdom under when you put in the search engine in the Urban Dictionary of Wisdom. And I just picked up about four that I kind of like. One of them says, many people will, without invitation, offer their, quote, words of wisdom, unquote. Wise people realize when it's not their time or place to do so. That's interesting. Another says, wisdom is knowing what you know as well as what you don't know. Yeah, I like that. A third one says, put your trust in yourself and God because your friends get you smoked. Okay. And the last one I picked up there to say is the act of thinking of something stupid to say and not saying it. The act of thinking of something stupid to say and not saying it. When you look at quotes and you look at definitions, when you look about wisdom, you can find many things, some helpful and some not very helpful. James contrasts two types of wisdom here, earthly and godly. I remember a movie, and I'm not much of a movie buff, but years ago I saw the movie Wall Street, and I remember a quote from there where the head character is, I think, speaking for a bunch of young stockbrokers, and he makes this statement, greed is good. Yeah, that's the world's wisdom. Greed
greed is good. Money is everything. But we have to contrast that with God's word, where Jesus says in Matthew, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." It is interesting and good that we seek God for his skill in living, in taking truth, in taking God's word and applying it. When I was studying with this, I thought of an example about wisdom from back home. And this is a story that my mother told me, and I have to tell you, it was years. I was good and going before she told me the story. It happened while I was in school. But she didn't tell me this for years. I must have probably was in my 40s when my mother told me this story. But I remember when I was in school, there was this guy and his brother, Leon and Harry Hester. And his brother's a friend of mother's, ended up taking him and their mother. They were from Gary, Indiana. Their mother died, and I'm not sure what the relationship was with Miss Rutledge. But she took Larry and Leon in, and let Harry and Leon. Harry was younger than me. Leon was a year or two older than me. But I knew Leon. I didn't know Harry. I knew Harry, who Harry was. He was a little kid. Knew Leon better because I played football with him. But I knew Leon pretty well. We were not buddies, but pretty well. My mother told me the story of Miss Rutledge dealing with Leon, who was, I don't know, 16, 70 years old, foot filling his oats. And there was this lady at home named Beulah May. Beulah May was one of those women that they was told to us, you kind of stay away from her because she was a fast lady or something. She had a reputation. But apparently Leon had this thing for Beulah May. And he was cutting out of school and skipping school and going laying around with Beulah May. And apparently his relatives had done all that she knew she could do to try to get him to straighten up and do right. And he just kept on keeping on. My mother told me one day, and I'm not sure how she found out about this, but it turns out that apparently Leon had cut out of school and was hanging out over Beulah May's house. And Ms. Rutledge called police and had them to go pick up Leon and take him down to the jail. They didn't put him in the cell, they just take him down there. She met them down there. Mother Leon, Ms. Rutledge went and sat at the jail with Leon. Said, "Leon, your mother died, and I promised your mother, I was going to get you to school. And I'm trying everything I can to get you to do right, and you ain't doing right. And you got two choices. You'll go to school, or you're going to go to jail. What you going to do?" Well, Leon said, "I'll go to school." And Leon graduated, went on to community college. And in fact, it's interesting because his career was kind of in law enforcement, because I think he's retired now, but he was a prison guard for years back up in Indiana. Wisdom applied. Ms. Rutledge was not a very educated lady. I'm sure she did not finish high school, but she, like many of the people I grew up with, was very wise. And she got very creative in how to handle this son of hers that she loved, who was going wrong. Wisdom takes a lot of creativity, a lot of godly creativity. It comes from God, and he has to lead us to guide us. Let's look at our passage today. How can we evaluate whether wisdom is divinic, earthly, or whether it's heavenly? The first thing that we have to do in trying to evaluate whether someone or something is wise is to observe behavior over time. Wisdom is often sown. Most anyone will tell you how wise they are, because we all think we're smart. We all think we're wise. But wisdom often has to be observed. Verse 13 says, "Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom." By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. You want to know who is wise and understanding among you? Look at his good conduct. Look at his conduct over time. Don't just listen to words to determine whether someone is wise. Look at their conduct over time. Look at their overall pattern of behavior. This isn't simply a checklist thing, but look at their overall pattern of behavior. How do they handle themselves? How do they handle things? Is it the kind of person who is calm and wise on 1 minute and with just a slight spark flies off the handle? What is the consistency of their behavior, of their conduct? Are they the kind of person that occasionally has something wise to say that you should listen to, but overall you better not listen to them because they get you in all kind of trouble? Observe behavior over time. I put over time because it takes time. You can take a snapshot and be very wrong. Sometimes you'll see on Facebook and these things where people will take a snapshot of things that look like something, but it's something different. One of them, one caption is a thing about snapshots of pictures of taking pictures of something, but there's something in the background that gives a very different description of that scene than the cameraman intended. When you take a snapshot, you see what you see, but you don't necessarily see the big picture. Wisdom is a big picture thing. It is something that takes a whole into consideration. Observe their conduct. By his good conduct, let him show his works. Is someone's life godly? If their life is not godly, I don't care how many smart things they say, they're not really wise people. Because see, if you want to look at wisdom just in certain areas, there are a lot of people who know how to make money, but don't know how to treat their family. There are a lot of people who are wise in a certain skill in a certain area, but not in the broader sense. They have skills in a particular area, and they do very well, and they're very successful at it. But look at the whole picture of their life, because when you talk about godly wisdom, you're not just talking about this area. You're talking about a whole life. God cares about everything about us, and he wants us to be wise in all that we do. Look at their behavior, look at their conduct, and check out their attitude. Look at their attitude. Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in meekness of wisdom. His attitude. Show his works in the meekness of wisdom. Meekness is gentleness, it is strength under control. It is under control. One of the quotes I mentioned, wisdom, the guy talked about wisdom is a person who has their advice but knows when to share it and when not to share it. Wisdom is in control. We all have opinions about most everything. The hard thing to do in terms of wisdom is figuring out when we are to share that opinion and when we need to keep our mouth closed. When is that time? When is that relevant? Or when, whatever the reason is, but when we need to do one to say or to not say something. Wisdom is not only knowing what to say, it's knowing when to say it. It's knowing how to say it. What is the attitude? Wisdom is shown more that is taught. You want to know if someone is wise, observe them. Observe them over time. Observe them in various situations. Observe them under pressure. Observe them under stress. You see, it's much easier to be wise when things are calm, when there's no stress. But it's a whole lot easier to do stupid things under pressure. And the fact of it is, most of us have done stupid things under pressure. Most of us have done stupid things, not everybody, most of us have done stupid things under pressure where we knew better than everything else, and the only explanation we can really come up with it seemed like a good idea at the time. And I think about now, yeah, it was stupid. It was stupid then, it's stupid now, and I can't defend it. But all I can tell you is at the time, it seemed like it was a good thing to do. Over time. As I said, James contrasts two types of wisdom. Let's look at those two types of wisdom. The first one he talks about is earthly wisdom, earthly, even demonic. Verse 14 through 16, If you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder in every vile practice. There is a wisdom that is not from above, but it is earthly, it is unspiritual, it is demonic, it is earthly wisdom, and it is not the wisdom that we are to seek. Whether we look for to figure out which is which, two key words here in verse 14, bitter jealousy and selfish ambition. If you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambitions in your heart, do not boast and be false to the truth. Bitter jealousy and selfish ambition. Now, the adjectives there are very important because ambition in and of itself is not wrong. Jealousy even in and of itself is not always wrong. But there is an adjective here for both of these. It is bitter jealousy. It is selfish ambition. It is bitter, resentful jealousy. There's a legitimate jealousy that a husband has for his wife and a wife has for her husband because they belong to each other. And there are borders that should not be crossed. And if they're crossed, it's not inappropriate, it's not wrong to have this sense of jealousy there. If we talk about God has a godly, righteous jealousy for his people, for our obedience to him. But this is not talking about that kind of, this is bitter or resentful jealousy. This is a jealousy that wants what the other person has because I want it. This is a jealousy that is resentful. This is a jealousy that is envious of others. That's a sign of earthly wisdom. One of the ways you see that is that wisdom that is simply seeking to get what I want at any cost. That is resentful because I don't really care about the other person. And you have to watch it because people will slap you on the back, smile in your face, tell you all kinds of great things, compliment you while stab you in the back. And if you live long enough, you will experience that. You will experience that friend who's smiling in your face, telling you what a great person you are, and you find out they're telling all kinds of lies behind your back. And you thought they were your friend. It is bitter jealousy. It is selfish ambition. It is ambition that has no concern for others. I want this position because it pays well, and I can get more toys for me. Versus I really believe I can help people in this position. And it will give me more resources, more money, so I can meet my needs. But I can also give more, do more to help others. It is ambition because I realize that God has gifted me in certain areas, and I desire to grow in position. But the reason I desire to grow in position isn't just for me. It is because I think I can do something of value in that position. That, yeah, it will help me, but it also is going to help others. So ambition does not think about me. I do get some of the perks of that, but the ambition that we're after is that ambition that recognizes God has put all of us in community and we ought to care about others as well. What is earthly wisdom? It is ambition that is focused on bitterness, bitter jealousy, and selfish ambitions. In your heart, it is a heart check thing, ultimately. Because people can fake it. They can fake it for a while, but over time, you will see what is true. It is a heart thing because people will fool you. People will do good things to get you to let your guard down so they can take advantage of you. Earthly wisdom. How to identify it? It is full of bitter jealousy and selfish ambition from the heart. False to the truth. Seeking to deceive people as to its true motives. At heart, it is bitter jealousy, it is selfish ambition, and it is not godly. This is verse 15. This is not wisdom that comes down from above, but it is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. How do we know? It shows itself. Verse 16, for where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder in every vile practice. Where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder in every vile practice. There will be disorder. It shows in disorder. The word disorder is talking about the open defiance of authority. If authority doesn't agree with them, they have no problem going around it or whatever it takes to get their way. It is a person who goes through the system, who they're in a business environment, and they are fine as long as the authority agrees with their way. But when you come up with new management, you come up with what have you, and all of a sudden the way they've been doing things is called into question, they'll keep smiling. But they will do whatever it takes to get their way. I have been a manager, and they're always the people who smile on your face. But you're not doing things the way they want you to do. And you always have to be careful. You have to watch every word you say to them. You have to do all these things because you know that they're always ready to take the word, your words, twist them, to take your actions and twist them, to try to get their way and make you look bad. Constantly sowing disorder, the rumblings that are constantly trying to cause confusion and disorder in the system. It's demonic, it's earthly. It shows itself in evil practice. Moral evil. Shows some of evil practice because these are people that may belong to the best clubs, may do all these things well, but often have a dark side. The person who is the pillar of the community until it turns out he's been abusing his wife for 20 years. The person who has been leading the civic organization and all of a sudden you find out they've been skimming money off the top because they wanted this boat they could afford on their salary. The person who maybe, this is not so much talking about that street dude who's out there stealing and killing, but that person who is making it, who is functioning in society, functioning in a corporate structure, but there's a dark side that you don't see. That's why it's not a quick glance. It is an observation over time. You think it's don't be fooled by flash. Look behind the veil. Don't be fooled by flash because they're very good at playing to what you want to be true. It's like that carnival broker that's showing you this game that looks so easy to win, knowing that it's rigged. It's like that person who is giving you this deal and you know it sounds too good to be true. But you love for it to be true. And they're playing off that. Because they know you love for it to be true. We're just looking at all these scams. How do people fall for that? Because we are in a hard greedy. And yet we know in our head that sounded too good to be true, but it was so convincing. And I wanted so hard for that to be true. And it took me. Don't be fooled by flash. Look behind the veil. So how do you identify then godly wisdom? What's the difference between the two? Verse 17. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Signs of wisdom is from heaven is its character, its depth of character. The wisdom from above is first of all pure, and it gives us this: pure, peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy, full of good fruits, impartial, sincere. These are character issues. These are issues of depth, issues of character. Pure, without moral defect. Doesn't require something ungodly of you. Peaceable, free from worry or inattention. May have questions about the results, but no lack of peace with what wisdom requires you to do. For instance, there are situations that you might have where you have an issue with your friend, and you know because of God's word, where God says, go to your brother, you go on again, and I got to go talk to them. This is not the whole sense that I'm not going to have that kind of nervousness in my stomach over the talk, but I know that it's necessary. I know that it's of God. And the discomfort is not over whether to speak. The discomfort is over the concern when I want to do it right. And I want them to hear me right, and because I want to resolve this issue, and I want to restore fellowship. It is peaceable, free from worry of inattention because the thing that I'm considering is wrong. It is gentle, it is gracious, considerate. It gets my emotions under control, and I don't go to them even if I need to go to them and be harsh just because I'm mad. Just because they did me wrong, but I want to go with them and deal with them because ultimately my aim is godly restoration, not vengeance, not my vengeance. Open to reason. Willing to listen, and not just with lip service, but really listen to consider whether the other side has any valid points. You know, sometimes the other guy may be wrong in the broad sense, but maybe something that he has to say to you is true. Am I willing to listen and consider that part that's true? Open. Open to reason. Full of mercy and good fruit. Kindness and concern, and willing to help even if it means giving of yourself. Full of mercy. Desiring to restore. Recognize that even though this person has sinned against me and needs my mercy, I can give them mercy because I received great mercy from God. Because maybe I didn't sin against them, but I've sinned against God. And I've received mercy. So I can be merciful to them, not because they deserve mercy, but because I serve a merciful God. Impartial and sincere. Without prejudice or bias, lacking any pretense. The whole idea of checking myself first, of realizing that yes, there may be something I have to do, but ultimately, I need to stand before God and look to God for my behavior. And I want to check that first. Signs of wisdom from heaven is this character, this deep character. And its ultimate results in verse 18 is a harvest of righteousness. It is a harvest of righteousness. Doing what God requires, whether we get rewarded for it now or not. It is a harvest of righteousness, but sometimes that righteousness takes time. God will make things right. But it doesn't always do on our schedule. But he will make things right, and we have his promise of that. Matthew 5:10 says, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. There is no formula that promises us good stuff. Doing right usually works well for us here, but not always. God says, do right because it's right, and I'll reward you when I want, how I want, and you will eventually see that it was for your good. There is no formula that promises good stuff. And what I mean by that is simply this. In seeking that harvest of righteousness, seeking to live a righteous life, we do the right thing. Now, Proverbs has a lot of advice for godly living. What it is usually talking about is if you do this, there are blessings. Train up a child in the way they should go, and then when they're old, they will not depart from you. That is not an absolute promise that your child can't go wayward. But what it is saying is, if you train up a child in the way they should go, even in this life, because you've done the right thing, you're generally going to see the good results. It may take a while. That child may walk away for a while, but they're going to probably come back because they've been trained right. But it's not a guarantee that the child is going to come back. Doing the right thing generally works. Generally works even tangibly before the day. Treating people right usually works in the sense of getting good reviews, having real friends and all that. But it doesn't always work at that specific moment at that specific time. Because sometimes you don't get what you want. Then. The harvest of righteousness is something that God promises, but it's on His schedule, not mine. It will happen eventually, but eventually it can take a long time. But even in the waiting, there's peace, and that peace dominates. A harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Harmony. Peace of God, peace with God. It's interesting because we think about peace as kind of the absence of problems, the absence of tension, the absence of all this negative stuff. But if you look at the scripture, how God uses peace, that is not necessarily the way He uses peace. There are many passages, but one I picked up in John 20:19, and also he repeats it in verse 21. And this is a scene after the resurrection when the disciples were in hiding. Jesus has risen from the dead. He sent word that He's alive, but the disciples are sitting behind locked doors and hiding. And in John 20:19, on the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews. They're sitting there whimpering, scared to death, not believing what has happened. And in that moment, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." Now, why can He say that? Because ultimately, He's our peace. Not the circumstance, not the absence of tension, not the absence of problems. Not having everything go our way, but that peace that passes understanding. That peace that is in the presence of the Savior who is with us. Or is this godly wisdom takes the long view. In recognizing that we live in a temporal world and I have to deal with issues as they come, but to determine whether it is godly wisdom or not, take the long view. May not give me what I want at that particular moment, but in the long run, it always gives me what God wants. Just quickly as we finish up. So what? Godly wisdom comes out of godly character. It is wise behavior from a godly heart. If the character is not godly, the wisdom is not godly. Not in the big picture. I don't mean by that statement isn't true. I guess it and be. But godly wisdom comes out of godly character. It is wise behavior from a godly heart. It's a hard thing. B. We all screw up. And even heathen do good things on occasion. But the issue is the pattern of our behavior. We all screw up. Even wise Christians screw up. And even heathen, those who do not care anything about God, do good things on occasion. Do, quote, things that God would agree with on occasion. It isn't a matter that if you have godly wisdom, you never mess up. And if you are worldly, you never say anything worth listening to. It is a matter of distinguishing over a period of time what is God and what is not. We all mess up. We all mess up. And even the heathen have good things to say on occasion that we need to listen to. But what we're concerned with is our pattern of behavior. Is bitter jealousy and selfish ambition our pattern of behavior? We can all be better. We can all be selfish. We can all be jealous. But it is our pattern of behavior. Or is our pattern of behavior that godly list of things in verse 17? We all screw up, and even heathen do good things on occasion, but the issue is our pattern of behavior. See, godly or heavenly wisdom involves putting your faith into practice in every area of our life. There's a real temptation to be godly in areas of our life that we choose to be godly in. God wants us to seek Him, to seek to live wisely in every area of our life. And many people in church singing songs of praise to God, with areas of their life where they're living in disobedience. That's not what God wants. We've had Kayla hear stories about this minister who has had a great ministry, and he's led many people to the Lord. And it turns out he's got 3 or 4 mistresses. Turns out he's been involved in pornography. Or worse. God wants control of every area of our life. It is very dangerous to have pockets that we refuse to allow Him to control. It is very dangerous, and it is unwise, because it gets us into trouble and has the potential to completely destroy our testimony. Godly heavenly wisdom involves putting our faith into practice in every area of our life. Father, thank you that we have an opportunity on Sunday to come together and share and just seek your face. And we do. We seek, Lord, to hear from you, and pray, Lord, that you would just open our minds and our hearts, that we would hear and we receive your word, your truth, that would take hold of our life and that we live it.